Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk, this segment, Bringing Sexy Back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. And before I start the show, I want to send out my condolences to one of my co-hosts, Rhea Banks. She lost her father a few days ago, and I lost a friend as well. So we're going to have a moment of silence for them. Okay. The weather's been crazy, crazy, crazy cold days, you know, but in regards to all that, every day is a beautiful day that we wake up in it. We have a very special guest this evening, my guest co-host, and we're going to be interviewing her. In the meantime, we're going to bring on my two co-hosts. Good evening, Rhea and Jadino. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good evening.
I'm okay. Rhea, I just mentioned you have my deepest condolences, doll. I really didn't expect you to, you know, to be on here tonight, but I do appreciate you, you know, you coming on. So, you know, with that being said, I'm very grateful for you, and I appreciate you the utmost because you've been with me the longest. So, you know, anytime something goes down, we talk about it and, you know, get everything together. So, again, you know, offering you my deepest condolences, darling. And, you know, I hope you make it through this bereavement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, like I, okay, darling, like I had mentioned, we do have a special guest this evening, which is my guest co-host, Jade. She's an erotic expressionist and is a provider of relationship counseling, romance coaching, erotic reading cards, and pleasure parties. And she's a founder and creator. Jade is a romance guru and is a woman of many hats. She is a love coach, pleasure party hostess, and coordinator. She's also the hostess of Erotic Talk Radio. Jade discusses various exotic erotic topics that are educational and erotic. She encourages her listeners to open their mind and try new ways to express themselves erotically. Jade is also a very talented writer of erotic poetry, stories, and is preparing to make her writings available for digital download soon. Now, Jade also has a page on Facebook, Erotic Talk Radio. It's a place where you can go and post different erotic poetry or, you know, whatever. And she also has questions that she may pose on there, so you want to get on there as well. So with that being said, we're going to bring in Jade Byron. Good evening, Jade. How are you, darling?
Hi. How's everybody doing?
Hey, everybody. She's speaking to everybody.
Hey,
hi, everybody. Everybody's okay. Rhea, my deepest condolence to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My deepest condolence to you, sister.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to get right down to what Miss Jade is all about. And that song, Yes, I'm Ready, that was by Barbara Mason. So we are going to be ready for this great conversation that we're going to have tonight with Jade, the erotic guru. So, Jade, take us back to when you coming up. Do you have any brothers and sisters, and where are you from?
I'm originally from Puerto Rico, but mm-hmm. I've grown up in Baltimore. My father came here to get a better, opportunity within work. And so we came here when I was a baby. And so this is what I know, but I do go back home to visit my family. And I have four brothers and five sisters. And I'm the youngest out of every one of them.
Oh, you're the baby.
I'm the baby. Yes, I am.
Oh,
and
my
goodness. Look, they still treat me like the baby.
I know that
yeah.
feeling when I used to be the baby. Yeah, so do you have any, let's tell you a little bit about your personal life. Are you married?
Yes,
children?
I am married. I have two boys, and they're up there in age, so they're not like babies, young kids. They're in their teens, and one of them is an adult. I deny that he's an adult, because he's 21, the law says he's an adult. Mama says you still got some growing up to do.
We just don't want to let those boys go for nothing. Because my son is he'll be 42 next month. And, you know, he's still my baby. And my daughter, she'll be 40, I think Gail's going to be 45. Yeah,
wow.
She's definitely the baby girl. She's more the baby than her brother. But, you know, no matter how old they get, they're going to always be our babies, you know. So
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's that. So now you wear many hats. Which one do we want to talk about first? Let's see. Throw one out there for us.
The funny part is the toys. How I got into doing the toys, I have my own toy party playing business.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I never knew about toys. And that's something that would be interesting to some people, because a lot of people that know me, that have known me since I was young, always said, Jade, you're so passive. I could never imagine you doing greeting cards and doing these parties, and you'd be just really getting into it. So a lot of people have always been shocked that this is the avenue that I took within my career move when I decided to be a romance specialist.
Okay, so what made you actually get into it?
My husband.
Your husband.
Yes, he actually, he introduced me to a toy.
Uh-huh.
Blew my mind.
What
I
toy was that?
Say that again?
We mind sharing what toy was that? Because that's kind of strange, you know, for a man. You know, not to say that men don't do that, but, you know, generally it's the woman who will introduce a toy. But do you mind sharing what toy he introduced you to?
It was a vibrator. It was a, you know, I at the time do not remember the texture of it, but it was like one of the real feel vibrators.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that it was either cyber skin or real feel or something like that. As far
mm-hmm.
as the texture.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked me to close my eyes. He just was insistent on me closing my eyes. And so
mm-hmm.
before he turned it on, I'm like, what's going on? And I'm,
mm-hmm.
you know, anticipating. And then when he turned it on, I was like, oh, my God, what is that? Oh, my God. So then he took me into the toy store, and he used to hide the vibrator, by the way, because he was like, you're not going to use this by yourself. This is for us, for me to watch you, you know, blah, blah,
aww.
Blah. And I used to search for it. When he would leave, I'd be like, I need to find it. Where is it? So when he took me to the store, I think I embarrassed him because I was screaming, like, look at this. Oh, my God, you used it for this. Did you see this one? And it was a white guy that was standing there, and he was all quiet into whatever he was looking at. And my husband just looked at him and said, you can tell this is her first time. And from that point on, I was like, I got to share this with everybody. Like, this is amazing.
Wow.
So that's how I ended up starting it out. And he jokes me every now and then and say, man, I turned you out. Now I got you selling toys. Come on. You seriously going out there? I said, yes, I'm going out there. I'm going to let everybody know you got to get this.
Wow.
Right out. Yes.
That is truly amazing, you know, because generally, like I had mentioned, you know, women, you know, generally turn their man on. But that's good. That is really good because, you know, men go on.
I'm going to say, I will admit that in the beginning, when he was first trying, like, little small things, like, on me, I would be like, why do you want that? If he had, like, a video or something and he wanted me to see it in the beginning of our relationship because of how I grew up,
mm-hmm.
I was closed-minded. So
mm-hmm.
it was always, like, that shell shock. Is there something wrong with me? Why are you looking at that? Why do you want to see these kind of women? And so when I started to say, wait a second, let me give it a try. Let me see what it's about. It kind of, like, opened doors for me to really maneuver through life and through our sex life, actually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
To keep it spicy, so to speak.
Yeah.
Wow. So now you started your own toy company. How did you do that? Did you consult somebody, or you just went and bought toys, or, you know, how did you start your business?
At first, my husband is not into, and I'm kind of skipping here with the greeting cards. I do greeting cards, too. I personalize greeting cards. So I did not start right away with the toys itself. In the beginning, I did small stuff like candles, greeting cards, rose petals, different things like that I
mm-hmm.
had originally started with. And I had went online and just researched where was the cheapest that I could get it so that
mm-hmm.
I could try to make a profit from it. And my husband wasn't into really looking at cards whenever it was his birthday, Christmas, or whatever. He didn't really look at the cards, and I kind of was, like, taken back from it because I'm like, I stayed past the day or however many hours I was in the store looking around for that perfect card, and you're not going to read it. So then I started writing and getting back into writing because I was writing back in school and selling cards then. And I decided, let me do something I did for other people back then. And I wrote a card, and he just was, like, engulfed in it. And I said, there it is. That's what I need to do. And so
mm-hmm.
I started doing, like, little parties, introducing the cards and little small sensual stuff that was more toned down. And then people started requesting toys and different things like that. And I said, well, since I know about a little something about these toys and I experienced it, let me really go dig deep. And that's what I did. And ironically, because a lot of times people don't want to share information.
Right.
I actually found a girl who, a woman who was in a different state, and she was doing her own party plan business. And I said, listen, you know, I want to do my own thing. Do you wholesale? How do you, what do you do? How do you, how do I get into this? Because this is really what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was expecting her to say, well, here's the breakdown of what we do and here's your discount, you know. And so I was thinking she was going to try to hook me into being her consultant, but she surprisingly gave me the information I needed to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it started happening, and I started meeting more and more people and going to different toy conventions and really looking at how serious people take it. Like, it's like a big thing. And
yes,
that's how I started really marketing myself and meeting other companies.
Okay, so how did you come up with your name for your company?
You know what, Mr. Lissus, I just kept writing. It was really for my greeting card.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept writing out something with erotic in it. And I said, it's gotta have a following from erotic. And that's when erotic expressions were born. My friend just was looking at everything I was writing. She said, you keep on writing this, erotic expression. Why don't you just go ahead and stick with that name? And I said, you know, I do like that name, you know. So, I had a lot of little names that I had with erotic in it, and that seemed to fit the business that I was doing.
Okay, well, you said you went to conventions and to get as much knowledge as you could. What went on at these conventions?
Oh, my gosh. Half-naked women, like we have body paint that turns like silicone paint, and so it looks like you actually have an outfit on. It's depending on how you're painting it. Like if you paint it to look like a bra, it looks like a real bra is on you. So you had women walking around with this, selling that product, and people showing you what these products are, demonstrating the product by, you know, turning them on, letting you feel them. You have people walking around in lingerie because, you know, we have a lingerie collection that we do, and other companies, they just do a lingerie store. So you had just different things. They do a fashion show, but they really are detailed with lining up the different toys, letting you feel them. When you go in there, it hasn't come out on the market yet, so you already know what's getting ready to come out that you can, you know, explain to your consultants and say, hey, this is what we're going to expect coming out soon. And they give you the detail and a breakdown of it, the history of it, whether it's, you know, silicone, medical-grade silicone or jelly or whatever. With jelly, I wouldn't never recommend. But so they tell you the different material that it's made from, and right down from what batteries that it takes. It's just a lot of detail that they go into when they're explaining to you these different toys. And it's different marketers, it's different companies, because they're trying to get you to come aboard with them and buy the products from them.
So let me ask you this. You said they spoke of the different materials like silicone and jelly. What do you suggest that your clients, what are the most items that you sell, and what do you suggest your clients use, the silicone, the jelly, or what type of textures do you?
Medical grade silicone. I always tell people that if they're using anything that's a jelly material, because we do have some people that really like the feel of it, I always say to put a condom on it. Because it's porous, so it can gain bacteria on it. But the medical grade silicone is not going to hold a lot of bacteria. It's easier to clean. The glass wands from Don Juan, those, I really love them. I really love those. because they come in different shapes, they come in different sizes, the ridges, they feel like little ridges and everything when you use them, and they actually help you to lubricate easier, but some people are intimidated by glass. So I like to try to coach women into why they can buy it and how it's safe. And so we sell a lot of those. We sell the Hitachi wand, which is one of our big sellers, and that comes with, you know, you can buy. What's great about the Hitachi wand, like, people use it for massaging, but you can also put attachments on it. So that powerful vibration that you get from it, you know, you can get a really good if you're into that. Because some women are into a much lighter vibration than others. Yeah, some people can't handle the stress of the Hitachi wand.
Right. What I know about the Hitachi wand, I've never used it, but I've seen it. When I went to a few conventions in Las Vegas, you know, they were having all these different toys and, you know, things like that. So that Hitachi wand is a beast, you know.
It is. And that's why I suggest putting, like, if you're, like, a person that you can't deal with that kind of strength, then putting a, like, a sheet or something in between you and the Hitachi wand. That way you won't have such power in it, you know. But,
right.
Yeah, it is a beast. It is. It is.
And now, do you also?
Go ahead.
Did somebody say something?
No, I was going to say women love it because you don't have to worry about the battery.
Oh, okay. Right, right, because you can plug it in. Yeah, that is true. Now, do you also, do your women ever ask you, you know, how often they should use these toys or they do harm if they use them too much and, you know, how to clean them and different things like that. Do you give that information out as well?
Yeah, I always try to sell them toy cleaners. And then depending on what toy that they have, you can just use a little soap and water. So, but I always try to get them to just get a toy cleaner so they can just spray it just before they use it and spray it after they use it. And to really just make sure they take the batteries out, and I tell them to just store it somewhere where it's not too much heat, you know, get a shoe box, a toy box or something if they want, a silk, like a silk type of cloth if they have, and wrap it in or something like that, depending on what kind of material it is, or we have the set, the toy set that you can stick them in.
Right. Well, I was told that, you know, it's always best to use a toy cleaner because depending on the soap you use to clean your toys, you can leave residue on it, you know, no soap with dye
Absolutely.
Or perfume in it, you know, because that can cause an infection, you know. So, but one lady, she was trying to file a lawsuit against, I'm not going to say the company, but, you know, and come to find out that she had used alcohol. She used alcohol and something else. And you never, oh, my goodness.
No.
She said that it was, the case was done, you know.
Wow.
Because, you know, it's left up to the consultant to explain to her customers, you know, how to clean your toys and how to store them. If you don't tell them anything else, you are supposed to let them know how to clean them and to store them. So, you know, that's something that's very important, you know, because, like, if she had done it right and got an infection, then maybe she would have had a case. But once she said, well, I cleaned them with alcohol, oh, no.
You done. Case closed. Alcohol. And that's why I said depending on what it is, because, like, if I do get some of them to buy the glass, you can just use soap and water to wash that and just clean it off and just dry it off real good and put it away. But if it's, like, something that fiber skin, if it's, you know, like jelly or one of those material kinds or the silicone, you want to use the cleaner. So you just You just spray it on there, and it's made for the toy. That's why you want to do that. And some women is like, well, am I going to use too much? How much do I spray on there? Okay, then get the cleaning wipes, because we have wipes, too, that you can clean your toy off. So I let women know that, too, you know. But it is important to explain how to take care of your toys. I've had women, Miss Delicious, that come to me, and they're trying to buy a toy that they had for 14 years. And I'm like, we do not sell that no more. And they're like, oh, God, I love it. And it's this colored and up. Because women get kind of, I feel like when it's your romance consultant, you shouldn't be shamed. You're asking her for a toy. It's a confidential conversation. So if someone is talking to me and they're like trying to describe this toy, and I'm like, there's so many toys running in my head. We got over 20,000 toys that is manufactured and still growing in number. Take a picture and just send it to me. And they're like, you want me to take a picture? I'm like, I have no idea how you're going to explain this toy to me. Just take a picture of it. And I will see this colored toy that should have been thrown away like years ago. And I'm like, are you putting a condom on this toy? I hope you are.
Right. That's something else that's important,
to
put condoms on them. Now, let me ask you about the glass dildo. What is the benefits of that and opposed to using the silicone or the jelly ones? Because I know the glass, it doesn't bend or it doesn't conform, so I have a glass one, but I've never used it. So
I don't know. You got to try. I mean, first of all, it depends on the shape of it. It depends on the girth or whatever. Because some women is like you said, it doesn't have no bend to it or whatever. Some women will look at it and say, it doesn't vibrate. I don't want it. It's because it doesn't vibrate. So I'll share with them that they can just buy a cock ring. If you're going to buy your man a cock ring, just use his. Put it on. Just put it on the base of the glass. I can't even talk tonight. I'm sorry. On the base of the glass, and it will give you that vibrating feeling. But what happens with the glass toys is that if you're not someone who gets wet naturally and you need lubrication to lube yourself up a little bit, it actually will give you a natural lubrication. You'll get wetter.
From the glass?
From the glass. You'll get wetter using the glass. I don't know if it's because it has more of a slippery feel than some of the texturized vibrators and dildos. But, the glass, that's one of the pluses with the glass is that it gives you that natural lubricating feeling. And women have been known to get more moist when using it.
Wow.
Especially if they want to take a little cock ring and just stick it on there so they can get like a little vibrating if they want to get that effect.
Well, I've had this one for maybe about 5 or 6 years. It's still in the case, and I've never used it, you know, because I didn't it came with my demo kit, you know, but I've never, since I stopped, you know, being dealing with the company that I was dealing with, I've never used it. A lot of those things are just, you know, up and away. But I've always was curious about the glass one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then
ones that have the ridges or whatever, like some of them have the different ridges, a different feel. Some of them have like a little bubble look.
Mm-hmm.
And it just depends on, because I've had women that will say, you know what, I ordered this one, now I want to try this one, now I want to try this one. And then they'll find the one that really is good for them, that they really like. Because it depends on your cervical walls. You know what I'm saying? You might have a different feel with the friction with one than another. So,
And also notice when I was, you know, doing those parties, a lot of women didn't know the difference between a vibrator and a dildo, you know, because they said, I want that vibrator right there. And I said, which one? That one right there. And they're pointing to a dildo, and I'm being confused because I'm saying, which one? They say, that one. I said, no, that's a dildo. Vibrators and dildos are different.
They're different. Yes, they
are. So, you know, there's a lot of things that women don't know. And I do appreciate the fact that they do have those parties in the comfort of your home opposed to, like, women going to these stores, you know, to these X-rated stores, because sometimes men look at them funny, and the person who they give their money to is not telling them what to do with that toy, you know, to clean it and, you know, different things like that. So that's a plus when you have these parties in the privacy of your own home, you know, because you also get educated to the fact of, you know, even how to use them, store them, clean them, and, you know, different things that are necessary for the longevity of your toys, you know.
Absolutely.
So I have some toys from back in 19.
What you damn right say, Mr. Licious? Back in what?
It says 1998, I want to say. But what happened was a girl on a job had came to work one day, right, and she was just talking about this party that she had had the night before and was telling us about the girl had bought toys and this and that. So I never, you know, had that particular time. I'd never been to a toy party and knew what it was. So I'm trying to imagine in my mind, you know, what is this all about? So what happened, one of the girls at work had a party. Girl, I went to that party and went crazy. You know, I was just buying up everything, and believe it or not, and I swear I am not lying, some of those things are still in the box.
Mm.
But it was just the point of me, you know, because when getting overexcited, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And another thing that happens is we'll find a toy. We'll get excited. We'll buy a lot of different things, especially when we're being told, you know, about the toy. And a lot of times you have women at a party that's so excited that they'll see something that you're demoing and you're talking about, and they'll get up and start screaming, girl, I know about that one.
Mm-hmm.
I let them talk because they're going to sell it to it because they're swearing by it. So then you have somebody like me who is sitting at a party, and I'm like, well, damn, Sheila over there said that was nice, but I also want that one. Well, I'm going to buy what Sheila had, and I'm going to buy this one. And they decide on this collection, but they find one out of the bunch that really fits well with them and just really complements them and their body and what they like. And so the other ones will sit and sit and sit because they're like, this is my favorite one. You'll find your favorite toy, and you'll have this collection, and it'll be this one toy that you'll prefer to pull out of the bunch all the time.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Because I think my favorite is, I can't even think of the name of it, but it's the, oh, my goodness, on the tip of my tongue. I can't even think of the name of it, but it's a bullet, but it has five different speeds. Think of the name of it. Anyway, that's my favorite toy because it has those different, it has the pulsating, the vibrating, it just has these five different speeds, and, you know, you could rev it up or, you know, slow it down and doing this and doing that, you know, so that's my favorite little toy right there, you know, so, yeah, you're right.
Wow.
Everybody does have their favorite, you know, and then some of them just use them all. And like
right,
I said, I still
right.
have some that are still in the box from 1998, whenever, but, yeah, so.
1998.
Yeah, I think it was 1998. Yeah.
Wow.
Because they're still in the box, you know, because I just went crazy. I was buying lotions and potions and this and that because, you know, the girl, she was very, very professional. She, you know, let us, you know, touch stuff, taste stuff, feel stuff, this and that, you know. So I just was so turned on. I said, well, I want that, da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, then in 2006 was when I started my romance consultant business, you know, so,
okay.
You know, then I, like I said, I went to two of the conventions in Las Vegas, and then they had a seminar up in Tulsa, you know, just going around getting all the information, you know, that I could get, you know, to educate women as far as, like, pleasuring themselves or, you know, couples as well. You know, because
right,
there
right.
were, you know, couples, and most of my clients, believe it or not, were white, and they spent the most money. You know, they spent the most money.
They do. They, what I call it, invest in their orgasm.
And they didn't have no inhibitions, girl, because I did a party in New Jersey, and those women was all over each other when I gave them the all this stuff is just sticking in my mind. When I gave them the cream that you rub on your clitoris that stimulates it, girl, I sent one in the bathroom. She came out the bathroom. She said, "I have got to go home. I want to be with my man right now." And girl, everybody was saying, "I want to use it." And they go in the bathroom. And they come out, girl. It was so funny because they was just
right.
like. Oh my God! And it's like that.
The toy that also helps sell the toy because they're like, oh my gosh, I feel all this warm, tingling sensation from this, and so I have several ones of those, just like you had said what you do. I have several of those that I give each. Everybody gets a different one, and they go take turns in the bathroom, and then when they come out, they're still holding it, and I say, okay, she has this, and this is what she's getting a feeling of, and then I ask her to describe it. And then you'll have people that will come up and say, can I try that? So after the presentation is done, these people are still coming up to me wanting to try it. And after that, they're like, I want to buy some toys. Because I'm like, imagine when you go home and you choose one of your favorite vibrators that you want to buy tonight. You know,
yes,
so.
And using that cream is just, it highlights it so much because one of the consultants that I had met, we had a phone conference, and she lives up in Baltimore. And I didn't know, she had told me, really she had told me about it because I was selling it, but I really wasn't using it myself. You see what I'm saying? So she said, girl, I try my product. So from that point on, I would try something, you know, and if it worked for me, that's how I would put it out there. Not to say that it worked for everybody else, but at least I know that it did work. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. You also would have to be one of your best customers as well because you can't really tell somebody about something if you don't know anything about it. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, I began to use the different products and, you know, that way I could let a woman know exactly how it would feel and exactly how to use it and, you know, what to do and what not to do, you know, but like everything does work for everybody, but I could, you know, at least get that out there.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So we're gonna take a. Go on.
Go ahead.
No, we're gonna take a break and we're gonna come right back and we're gonna get right back into Jade Byron, our special guest this evening. She's a romance consultant, love guru, love coach, and she wears many hats. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copies of Back to Zero and any of my books from my website at www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/apps/webstore/. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my clients while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as the seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing services a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/APPS/WEBSTORE/. After you make your purchase, check out my website. I thank you all in advance.
welcome back. That's DJ Rogers, Say You Love Me. Okay, our guest this evening is a special Jay Byron, who is a love coach, pleasure party giver, and she wears many hats. Right now we're on the hat of her during her parties, and we're talking about toys. So if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And I'd like to ask either one of my co-hosts, do you have any questions for Jade?
Hello?
Hello.
He's like, hello.
No.
You hear, we hear you.
Mr. Dino, we was just talking about toys last week, so I'm all up on that. It's a new device out. I don't know if you're aware of it, called the Realtek.
Say it one more time.
It's a new toy out device, I should say, called the Realtek. It's basically a new cyber sex toy. And
yeah.
I was kind of impressed with it because it's like, you're on one end and somebody can be in cyberspace on the other end. You can feel what they're doing to the device.
What?
I'll paste
you a link of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I saw it on this Realtek. Don't come on the one. They got like a spinoff now called Sex Now. So I happened to be like blurry eye one night, painting and looking at TV at the same time, and I saw it on. I was like, hey. This is like something I was thinking about a long time ago.
Right.
Wow.
And basically, it's just like a toy that goes over the guy, then it looks like a dildo on the other end. Whatever she does to the dildo, you can feel it through the toy, and not even being the same state. So I thought that was like about time modern technology finally catching up.
Mm.
Absolutely. So just how does it work, over the internet or Skype or
you
what?
Plug
how
it in. Yeah, you plug it in. It looks like a giant mouse. It looks like a football almost, and it has all these little gadgets on the inside. And you also can use it without the internet, which is
unplugged.
But, yeah, you plug in your UPS, like you would put your mouse in, and she plugs her device in, and I guess it's an application for it. And you go online and you use the video webcam. And basically, whatever you think of, whatever you tell them to do, or they just do it solo, and you just sit there and lay back
you
and watch,
feel it.
Monitor. And you
wow.
Yeah, they're saying it. I want to put a Pepsi challenge on that. I'm going to see if I can call and get a free one and test it
out. Wow. Well, please.
But I've always been fascinated with toys.
Wow.
Well,
the
well when you... When... Go ahead.
Well, no, I had made one, I think, back in the 90s. This girl wanted one, and I wasn't really hip on it back then, but I said, I pretty much can make anything. I remember I got, like, I don't know if you remember Band Roll-On when they used to have a rollerball.
Yeah.
I remember I took one of them and cut it off and put it on some barber clippers and taped it up, and she wasn't no more good for about a week. So that's when I got fascinated.
Oh,
even the ones that exist now, I like common. I like using other toys with other toys.
Mm-hmm. Wow, well, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because I remember using a bullet while a guy was, well, I put the bullet in first, and then he got on top of me. Yeah, that was quite an experience.
Did you tell him you put the bullet in?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, he knew because... I think he was controlling it. I'm not sure, but he knew the bullet was in, and I guess he could feel it too because of the vibration, you know. So
yeah, it's a lot of things that you can do, and people think there's limitations with it. They'll look on the back of the box and think, oh, I can't. You know, it's like you can do so much with a bullet. You can do so much, and.
Right.
People just think it's just for the clitoris. It's just for clitoral stimulation. It's like, no, you can put it on the guy's frenulum, and you can give him head. You can put it on your cheek while you're giving him head.
Yep.
You know, your nose might twitch a little bit. Your nose might start itching because it's tingling. But once you put that on your cheek, he's feeling that oral pleasure, but he's feeling like a vibrational. So you're like a human vibrator on his penis. And it's so many things that you can do, but people just like just misinterpret the whole thing. Say, oh, bullet, okay, just give me clitoral stimulation. It's not just
and
that.
And you also can use it on his scrotum, you know, put up underneath,
yep,
almost close to his anus, but not, you know, some men don't play that, but, you know, close to his anus, he feels that vibration. I mean, that's really a get-off for some men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just might have a brother here and there that, I don't hang with that funny shit. Don't put that near my ass. And it's like, wait a second, calm down. Slow your roll. I'm just trying to do something here. Calm down.
But you know what? If they would, if they wouldn't be so closed-minded, that's a good feeling. Men's G spot is back there, and some men do enjoy having that stimulated because it enhances the orgasm.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, it's really a good feeling. But you know, some men, they're so macho, they don't want to be considered gay, this, that. But those are the men I think that are insecure with their sexuality, because if you're with your woman and this is your woman pleasing you to the utmost, it shouldn't make any difference, because if he can stick his finger up her butt, you know, I mean, for exchange ain't no robbery.
Why can't you stick your finger up his? And the thing about it is, and I know guys are going to, if you have male listeners and they hear me say this, they're going to be like, hell no, Jade. But if you actually take a vibrator and you can put it successfully in his anus while you're giving him head, not a vibrator, a bullet, and you put it in there, because they have some that is skinny enough to go in, that's made for the anus. And if you put that in there and let it vibrate while you're giving him head, he's going to have a mind-blowing orgasmic experience. He's going to explode. But a lot of guys don't feel, they're like, I'm not even giving you the chance. That's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening. So they are actually limiting themselves with the endless possibilities of the orgasm.
Right. Jadino, how do you feel about that?
I take a zero on that one. But, as a matter of fact, a lot of women were telling me that's how they try to test you out. Because I know that they like test in it and stuff. I call it the sphincter, or whatever that little piece is between that and the anus. And I'm like, you come back up this way with that. I got a resistant situation about that. So that's what I heard about it, but I'll never find out. And a lot of guys say they won't, but a lot of guys I know that have done it.
Right.
And it ain't, it's not gay.
Well, you do.
It's
you do have a lot
gay,
of you
but
do,
it's like,
yeah, you do have a lot of guys that won't, and that surprises me, because you know, I even had a brother tell me one time, his friend went to a doctor and he was getting his prostate exam. She was a female, happened to be the female doctor. He, you know, and he said he could not believe that he came the way he came when she went to insert her finger up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to the guy, okay, so you hearing that your friend actually had this, and he's telling you, man, that shit was crazy. It was like really wild how it came, and it was powerful. I said, so you hearing your friend it just confiding you and say this to you, and you still won't let a woman? He said, fuck, and he cut me off. Hell no. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just try, you know, because you have to have an open mind. And just hearing that, you know, I'm not a guy, but for me, if I'm hearing somebody saying I could come off of having anal sex, you know, I've had women say that to me. And I'm the sex coach, but I've had women say that to me before I even decided or thought to even try it. And I would be like, dang, you could come off of having anal sex? I'm going to try that. And so that's why I cannot fathom why men are just like so closed-minded and shut down with it, because you're hearing somebody say you can actually come, and this is another brother saying this. I'm not no gay man. I'm not a gay man. I don't swing like that. This sister just came up to do my results or whatever and do my checkup, and this is what happened. And you still like, nah, man, not me. So that's why I don't understand, because sometimes you do hear stories, and it kind of encourages you to say, I might want to try that. Dad, she can come like that. Let me see. You know? And then just go to your mate and be like, you know what? Let's try this real quick. See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
it depends on how crazy it is, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, because I like that type of stimulation for myself. You know, if, you know, he's, you know, sticking a finger in my anus. But I've never had an orgasm like that. I've had an orgasm by that happening and him stimulating my clitoris at the same time, and that's mind-blowing. That is, it enhances it that much more. You know,
right.
But I've heard, you know, women having orgasms from having anal sex, but I've never did it. You know, I've never experienced just anal and having an orgasm from, you know, just having anal sex. Have you, Jade?
No, not yet, not yet. And I guess because I was, my focus was let's just get it in. That was my focus. Let's just get it in. Once we do that. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'll be straight with you and tell you, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, well, it's just so many ways for, you know, to be pleasured, you know, with the aids of, you know, the toys and the lotions and potions and, you know, different things like that. And I think that's a good thing, because that's what keeps a relationship hot, you know, opposed, because after
absolutely
a while you've done everything, you did it this way, that way, you know, what's next? So if you pull out a toy, or, you know, you had your little toy collection, and, you know, you can interact with your partner and, you know, keep that romance hot, because men will get bored, and women, we do too, you know, doing the same thing over and over and over. Let's do something different. I'm tired of you laying on top of me every night, you know. Let's switch up.
Right.
You know,
let me
get on top of you, you know, or let's do a spoon. Let's do it in the kitchen, you know, on the steps, in the
different
bathroom.
Different locations, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah, stuff like
absolutely
that, because the bedroom, you know, sometimes can be boring too. And, you know, you do it somewhere else, that enhances it as well, you know. So you have to open your mind. And you have to be willing to accept these things and to do these things with your partner if you want to, you know, keep that romance hot. Because a man, he loves it, you know, when a woman keeps it hot. You know, that keeps him at home, too, you know. Because some men, they want to go down the street and be with Sally May because she get the best blowjobs. You know, you are the one supposed to get the best blowjobs. Keep your man home. You know, so if Sally May doing them good blowjobs, get you a tape from Angel. And learn that tape backwards, forwards, upside down, and everything. Then you get your man, and he won't be going down Sally Mae's house no more.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it doesn't hurt to go get a dildo and practice. When you watching those, when you're watching like Angel, like she said, Angel's Erotic Solution. If you go there and you see how she's doing the blowjob, and you practice. Wait till your man leaves, get your dildo, and you practice, and make sure that you get one that is the size, that's the estimated size of your man, so you're handling him just like you're handling that dildo. And then just watch what she does and perform it and just keep practicing. Rewind that tape if you got to, and practice again until you perfect it, and then try it on him. I will tell you, once you get his toes curling and him looking at you like, what the hell just happened? You all did it, girl.
That's the truth.
Once
that is
at
the
you
truth.
Like, well, who are you? Yeah.
You have to perfect your craft, you know, and the same goes for men, too, you know, because some men, they need a little brushing up on, you know, how to, you know, please their women, because every woman is different, number one, just like every man is different. You know, you can't please this man like you please that man, you know, so you basically have to learn what this person wants, how to please them, and they have to learn how to please you. you know, because this one guy, he told me he knew how to please me orally, and when I told him he didn't, his feelings was hurt. Then he's going to tell me, well, I never had any complaints before. I said, well, this is the first one, you know, because, he never had no complaints before, that does not mean that what he was doing was right, because some women don't want to tell a man when he's not satisfying them. But I'm going to let you know,
exactly.
if you have not satisfied me by any means necessary, you're going to know about it. You're not going to leave my bed until I am satisfied. But I, like I told him, I said, well, maybe they didn't complain, but I, you know, you can't do me.
Right. And that's what, fellas, let me just add this to what Ms. Delicia said. A lot of times the ego is such a trip when it comes to you guys, because you don't want to take any kind of criticism, even if it's, it's gentle, it's being told to you in a good way. You don't want to hear it. And just because you made, Sally Mae down the street told Carl when you sucked her off and licked her clit real good, like however you did, doesn't mean that Catherine is going to get that same effect. You might be doing it a little too hard for her. She might like it a little more gentle. She might like a little bit more licking as a flickering with the tongue than you sucking, where Sally Mae down the street might have enjoyed that thing that you're doing to her clit. So you have to watch, you have to understand, just communicate. I always say that communication is the biggest thing. That's when you have your mind-blowing sexual experience with your partner, because you're talking to each other instead of assuming and getting in the bed and assuming what each other likes. You're talking about what you really like and what really turns you on. And then that's when sparks can fly, things can happen.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So the communication is very important. You know, you have to let that person know what your likes are and your dislikes are, and, you know, so get that out of the way. Because if I'm getting in the bed with somebody and I don't like the way that they're kissing me, you're going to know that too. I mean, you know, you just have to, things have to be right, because number one, when you're making love to somebody, that's something very intimate, something very important to me, you know, because I'm trying to please you and you should be trying to please me. Now, if you can't kiss and you can't lick, you can't do this, you can't do that, then you cannot get in my bed. We cannot be in a relationship, number one, because sex is the second important thing in a relationship. So, you know, if we communicate good, we talk good, we do this and that good, but when it comes down to the sex and that's not good, then, you know, it's useless for us to be in a relationship. And I really don't have time to be teaching anybody anything either, because if I tell you one time, you know, it's all good, but if I have to keep saying it, the next time I have to say the same thing, no. No, because it's like you tell me.
Miss Alicia had just said earlier, you ain't getting out of my bed till you satisfy me. Now, for me, I might kick your ass out the bed. I'm sorry. You are not, listen, I'm trying to tell you, move to the right a little bit. You ain't working. It's not working. I'm sorry, sir. You have a need
well,
you
see,
to get
that,
up.
The reason why I say he's not getting out of my bed until he satisfied me, because if he's already been satisfied, you see what I'm saying? If he's already gotten his, and, you know, and then he's thinking about, well, I'm tired and all this kind of stuff, you know, that's all well and good, but you're going to have to satisfy me before you get off that bed. Now, if we get in the bed and you're not doing it right and all this kind of stuff, I might just kick you out the bed. You see what I'm saying? But if I'm pleasing you, you have to please me by any means necessary. You know, you can use a dildo, your tongue, whatever. You have to satisfy me like I satisfied you.
Absolutely.
And that's a given. That is a given. Right. But, you know, like you also mentioned, if you get in the bed and you ain't doing nothing right and I'm telling you to do this and you doing what you want to do, get out my bed.
What do they say? I'm going to need you to exit stage left.
Mm. with the quickness.
I'm telling you, with the quickness. And sometimes, you know, and I understand because I always tell people communication. And if somebody hears me saying that in a group, and they're like, well, you tell people about communicating and how to perfect it and make it better, but you're saying you will kick somebody off the bed. He said, listen, I'm like this. I'm talking to you. I'm trying to communicate this. We're in a heavy moment right now. I'm at a stage where I really need you to listen so well, because I'm at the tip. I'm feeling it. And all of a sudden, you're not doing nothing right. That's going to spark a little frustration. Yes. So that's why I always talk about the importance of communicating and doing it before you get hot and heated, because you might have somebody a little ticked off and they'd be like, oh, sir, I'm going to need you to get up. Get up, get out, right. Keep moving. Don't even call me. I'll call you. Don't call me.
Wow. Yes. Rhea, do you have any questions for Jade?
I'll just make sure I take down her website information.
Okay. All right, darling. Yeah, so we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with the wonderful Miss Jade.
My baby. What a lady.
Jaheim, age ain't a factor. And we're here with the wonderful, beautiful Jade Byron this evening. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And you can ask Jade any question you want because I'm quite sure she has the answer. And we've been talking about erotic toys and her position as a pleasure party coordinator. But we're going to get into some other things that Jade does as well. So, Jade, let's go to another hat. And let's talk about that.
Okay. And you want me to talk about?
Okay. Well, you're also a relationship coach as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about that. So, how did you get involved in that?
Well, because I've been doing this for 10 years now, and probably I want to say 6, maybe 7 of the 10 years that I have been doing it. As you used to be a toy consultant, so you know that people start to come to you with different questions, not only pertaining to their sex life, but then they start coming to you pertaining to their relationship. And so a lot of times I always hear, and this does happen, I've experienced it myself, where when you confide in a girlfriend about your relationship issues or your woes and downs and things like that, their first response is normally, I'd leave his ass. Girl, I would leave him. I wouldn't put up with that. You know what I'm saying? And so my thing was, there's got to be a different response than this. Why do women always say that to each other instead of
unhappy women and women that aren't really in relationships themselves?
Absolutely. 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 So I tell myself, I can't talk to them. Let me figure out what would my response be. And so I always try to come up with something else than talking about the final step of leaving. Why would the final step be of leaving your relationship? What are all the things that you have done and you came up to doing to the point where now the final straw is you have to leave? Have you done this? Have you done that? Have you communicated and talked? Did you seek any kind of counseling? You know, sometimes it's beyond going to a relationship specialist. Sometimes you may have to go to a counselor. The only thing that I always say when you go to someone who is not a marriage counselor or a counselor, they're book educated, they learned from class and everything, they haven't learned from experience. So sometimes you're talking to a relationship specialist who has been through it or who has heard from other women their story so that they can better talk to you regarding that. And so that's why I started to do that. And another thing that women do a lot of, we are all to blame, we all do this, and we have done it at least once in our life, we have a list of all the things that we want in our expectations of a guy. And so my thing is to try to get these women to not have this list, because you're limiting yourself with getting that possible good man. So then I'm trying to explain to them how they're limiting themselves. Let's take that list and compare it to yourself. Would you match up and measure up to this list that you're asking this of this guy, these expectations that you have of this man?
Right.
A lot of times you have women that's like, yeah, I'm buying these toys and everything, but I don't have a man. You know, so that's why I got into it, because I really wanted to kind of see if I could help sisters kind of be better in their relationship, and also with the guys who come to me, you know, what can we do to make it better? You know, how can we strengthen our communication skills instead of always talking about what we don't like that the person does? Because that's the thing that starts the argument. Talk about all the loving things that you enjoy that person doing for you. Talk about what turns you on. I like when you do this. I like it when you kiss me like that. I like when you touch me like that. Instead of, you know, that turns me off. I can't stand when you do that, or you got to stop doing it that way, because then the other person gets it. So,
Right, and it's just always so that these women who have these, who be in a relationship, they have a tendency to listen to their girlfriends who are bitter, man-haters, are jealous and envious, and, you know, the first, like you said, the first thing comes out of my girl, I would leave him. But you, when you invest in a person, you know, it's not that easy to just get up and leave, because you also have to think about the good times you had together, you know, what brought it on, you know, how you're going to settle it. Your girlfriends, they can't help, because they out there so busy being with this man and that man, so they really don't know what it is to even be in a relationship. So therefore, you can't trust your girlfriends, you know, especially when she's not in a relationship, because they're going to tell you anything, because number one, they have been hurt, so they're bitter. And they don't really want you to be with anybody because they're jealous. You know, so like you said, you need to seek professional counseling, professional help, you know, from somebody who can help you see things from both perspectives, can give you an inside view as well as an outside view, you know, because I've been in relationships and, you know, may have said something to my girlfriends. And they say, well, girl, if it was me. No, because if it was you and you me, you're going to do the same thing that I did.
Right.
You know, so you can't say that. And then I've talked to some of my girlfriends, the ones who were married, because I've never been married, but I've been proposed to enough times. But, and then, you know, they always tell me, well, I would never get married. If it was me, I would never get married, because they've been in a relationship and their husband cheated on them or did this and that. And I try to tell them, I say, well, that's not necessarily going to happen in my marriage. You know, I don't know what was going on in your marriage would cause your husband to cheat, but whatever, when I get married, my husband is going to be treated like a king, and I'm going to definitely be his queen, so we're going to be in for the duration. But they be saying, girl, you don't want to get married. You don't want to get married. And, you know, that's okay for them to say. But I can't tell anybody, no, you don't want to get married, you don't need to be married, and this and that, because I've never been married. You see what I'm saying? So, but someone to tell me that, to try to be discouraging to me, I think that's not fair to me. But I'm a strong enough person to know that, hey, you said this, you said that, but hey, why did your husband divorce you? Because he caught you with his brother, or he caught you with this person, or you wasn't doing this, you wasn't doing that. You know, so that's not necessarily going to happen in my marriage. I'm not going to hook up with my husband's brother or with this person and that person. You know, so you can't tell me, girl, it ain't worth being married. You just stay single so you can do what you want to do. I can do what I want to do regardless, but the thing of it is, you don't have the right to tell me anything. You know, especially,
absolutely.
Like these women are so bitter and so hurt until they never heal, and they want to inflict that on anybody who will listen to them, you know, because it's another person. This person is so bitter until it's pathetic, and they're always talking about they want a person like this and they want a person like that, but what are you bringing to the table?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Women always say, well, I want a man, he got to have a house, he got to have a car, he got to have six figures, this, that. What are you bringing to the table?
Right.
You think a man making six figures, got a house and a car, is going to take somebody who's got all these different baby daddy on welfare, not working, you think he's going to hook up with you?
Right.
You know, so
expectations is too high, and then they want.
Right.
But it's right. It's also right down to the way the man looks. I've had a lot of women tell me, if I say, you know, let's start a list. I want you to, because I just want to see. I want to see what their list looks like. So I'll say, write a list. Give me some things that you would. Give me 10 things. Sometimes I'll say 5. Sometimes I'll say 10. Give me 10 things that you want this man has to have. Sometimes they will tell me right down to the complexion. They tell me right down to the way his hair has to look. Some of them like them bald. Some of them like them tall. Some of them got to be dark complexion or medium brown skin or something, you know. And I'm looking, and I'm like, really? Like, now you're going, you're getting a little bit really limiting yourself, really. You're really limiting
right.
yourself. Because there might be that man down the street, my husband, look. My husband is actually the first guy I've ever dated that was light-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a lift. I actually did. I had a lift. And
mm-hmm.
so this was somebody that I was friends with. We were cool. And I'm like, wow. You know, so he jokes with me every now and then because he like, oh, if he see Morris Chestnut, that's my man. I love Morris Chestnut. And he's like, yeah, you like them dark skin men. You like them dark skin men. But I got you. I'm with you. So I always tell women, stop limiting yourself because you don't know what you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? If you limit yourself, that man that you're sitting up there, he's got to have 6 figures. He's got to have this kind of car. He could be an asshole from hell.
Yep.
So you got all of that, but you got somebody that ain't treating you right, want to either hit on you or whatever, cuss you out, call you out your name, and he's not treating you right, and he ain't doing you good in bed. So what
right,
you got?
That's the man you worship.
Right. Right.
Well, I was on Facebook, go on, darling.
Go ahead.
No, I was on Facebook. I'm going to read a post that Ms. Cradle had put up. It says, I posted this earlier and had to repost it one more time. I often hear, when will I meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright? It is quite possible that one who can make you happy is someone you already know. You probably already have smiled together, ate out together, talked on many occasions, hung out together, cried together, Facebooked together, shop together, just enjoy each company, and et cetera. However, because you're looking further than you can see, you may be missing the blessings. Pay attention before that blessing becomes that of another. And that's so true, you know, because you are so busy looking. Some women can't see the forest for the trees. You know,
absolutely.
If a person would look from their heart instead of their eyes, because you know, your eyes see things differently from your heart. You know, maybe you wouldn't pass up your blessing.
Right.
And that's the problem. Like, you know, like you said, women have their lists as well as men. They, you know, they want the girl with the Coca-Cola shape and the big butt, the big breasts and light skin, hair down her back and all this whole kind of stuff. When the girl over here, that's a little on the plus side, dark skin, short hair, you know, beautiful smile, that may be the one for you because Miss Lightskin over here with the Coca-Cola bottle shape can't cook, can't clean, is uneducated, and just as dumb can be.
Right.
But that's the one you want.
And don't feed
you.
You
see those outer appearances. Right.
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 So sometimes, just like, you know, he had mentioned, you have to look further than what you see because you just standing there and wanting this and wanting that and you might pass up the person that was for you.
Right.
And a lot of women
do
that.
What
do
you need to do to keep him? Because a lot of women, like you said, they don't cook and, you know, they won't do certain things. They won't do a lot of things. I'm surprised that nowadays society, I guess women are not how it used to be when I was coming up.
No.
And so you got a lot of guys that's either used to this, they're used to the what you want to eat. I'm a call in an order for you right now. What y'all want? You know, or she's just like, or it's every man for himself in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow. So I remember sitting in front of a lady, and she's I want to say she was like 10 years or so younger than me. She was in her early 20s, and I had told her how I cook for my husband because I was joking about the size of the plate that I bring to him. And he's like, what are you trying to feed an army? Golly, you know. And I'd be like joking with him saying, well, you're going to want me to get you seconds. And so she's like, so you get him seconds, you make his plate? And I'm like, yes, this is a part of being a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I ain't doing all of that. And I looked at her and I laughed and I said, so what are you going to do to get and keep your man then? Because the body eventually is going to go down. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We're going to start gaining weight when we get older. I call it the marriage weight. Because when you start living with each other, you get married, get comfortable, or you just live with each other and you get comfortable, even if you're not married, you start gaining that comfortable weight. You know? So eventually all that Coca-Cola bottle shape that you're talking about is going to eventually go away. You're going to get older. What are you bringing to the table for him? You're talking about all these expectations that you expect of the man and how he should treat you. What are you going to do to get and keep him? Because you got him, and that's good, but you got to also keep him. So you got to maintain whatever it is you're doing to keep him and keep him interested. So these are the things that a lot of people don't understand, and that's what kind of cracks me up, you know. But
Because they get with these men, and they run around to, girl, I finally got so-and-so, girl. He can do this and he can do that, but what are you doing? She's not working anywhere, you know, and that's something else. Not to say that, you know, because I remember coming up when my mom didn't work, my father took care of my mother, and I had, it was five of us at that particular time. And he was paying the bills and doing everything. My mom wasn't working until eventually my mom just went out and got a job. But, you know, I like that concept, even though nowadays it takes two people to maintain a household. So there's nothing wrong with a husband and wife working. You know, I don't have no problem with that. But when you come into the household, now if I got married and my husband's working, I'm not working, I'm retired, but my husband's working or whatever, and, you know, we're living comfortably off of my retirement money and his income, you know, that's all good. But don't think now we married that I'm going to get up and get a job. Because you married me knowing that I'm on retirement, you know.
Right.
So how you got me is how you're going to get me.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but it's going to be all good.
You just
got to
keep it. You just got to keep it and keep it maintained and interesting. And,
and that's
the important thing. And a lot of these girls, they rely on what their friends say. And it's not just the single women. The thing that also happens is it's married women. I know I know a case where it's a lady, and she really deals and talks to her husband any kind of way. She verbally abuses him. She has abused him, you know. She has struck him. So it's not the man hitting the woman, it's the other way around. Now, what happens is you have the brother who's related to this couple, and his girlfriend, who never talked to him and treated him any kind of way like this, in a negative way. They're always doing for each other, whatever. But now her and the wife is good friends. They're best friends, they're close, and she hears how she talks to her husband. She hears when I say 6 o'clock, damn it, like I tell the kids when they better come home before it's dark, when I say 6 o'clock, you bring your ass home at 6 o'clock. She's talking to her husband, not the children. She's talking to her husband, and her husband comes in, guess what, 6 o'clock. And she laughs and looks at the girl and says, see what I mean? Look at this. So the girl is loving this. She's, like, taking it all in. So then she goes back to her boyfriend. She starts treating him like that. She starts calling him on the phone. This man is, she ain't working. This man is paying all the bills. He's taking care of her daughter and their child and his kids that are in the house. So he's taking care of the children too. And now all of a sudden she calls him and fussing with him on the phone, and she's like, you ain't shit, you don't do shit. And he's like, wait a second, why is she saying that I'm not shit? I'm doing everything I can to provide for the family. So why are you talking to him like this, man? Why are you treating him in that? It's because you see how this girl is treating her husband. She's like, I love it, because he's jumping. Every time she say jump, he's jumping. Not all men are going to respond like that. It's no telling what this brother is doing to allow that in his relationship. But this woman here is getting ready to lose a good thing. You understand what I'm saying? And so sometimes what happens is now this is a reverse situation, because it's not the single woman that's giving the feedback. It's the married woman that's giving the feedback and saying, this is how you got to do your man to keep him on tightrope and keep him listening and keep him good. And that is not how you do it.
No, it's not.
And so this girl is doing that, and she's getting ready to lose a good thing.
Well,
so,
you know,
it's stuff that you just have to watch when it comes to relationship. And then we have to watch. Let me just say this real quick. We have to watch telling our girlfriend how good the dick is in bed. Can I just throw that out there real quick?
Oh, yes.
We have
yes.
to stop doing that, because here's what happens. If those girls are lingering in the background, curious, and then they want to slide in. So that's another thing that we do that needs to stop. So,
yep, because trust and believe, she wants to try it.
You cannot
tell your girlfriends everything, because, you know, you telling your girlfriend how good your man is, how big his dick is, and he doing this and he doing that. She's thinking, because she's not getting that. You see what I'm saying? Her man is not treating her like that. Her man probably got a little 4-inch dick, can't screw, can't do nothing. So she's listening intensely. And the first chance she get to be with your man, you better believe it, she's going to try it. Now, not to say that your man is going to get with her, but trust and believe, she's going to try to come up on your man. I had that happen to me. So, but, you know, you live and learn. You live and learn. There are things that you don't share. If you're a married person, I don't think married people should deal with single people, you know, certain single people, not to say that they can't. But a married woman that has a whole bunch of single girlfriends, that's a problem for me.
Right.
That's a problem.
And that's a mess waiting to happen. And a lot of women don't want to take that advice when I say stop listening to your single girlfriends. And I have even said lighten your circle of friends. Lessen the circle of friends that you have, because not everybody is good. It doesn't matter if I tell you, don't be telling what's going on in your bedroom and how good it is, because you might have that one girl, and I said this on our show a couple nights ago, you might have that one girlfriend that's just observing. So even if you keep your mouth shut and you keeping the goods a secret, she's observing how he's treating you. She's observing all of the things that is happening within your household. If you're inviting her over, if she's invited to the cookout or whatever you're having going on, and she's seeing how you and your husband or significant other communicate and how y'all treat each other, how good he's treating you, she's the one that's quiet in the back end watching. And so that is why you have to limit your circle, because a lot of times, ladies, what we do, Kendra's my girlfriend. That's my tight friend. She ain't going to do that to me. She wouldn't do that. And Kendra is the one that's walking around with short shorts on or whatever and got her push-up bra on specifically for trying to get the bait and make herself the bait to capture your man.
Yep.
And you got to watch that.
Yep. Yes, you do. So do you also counsel men?
I have. It's more so a women conferences that I have. Like I'll do like workshops and everything. I've done couples. However, a lot of times men are in denial. If the woman is like, I think that, you know, we all need to talk. I want to talk about some things that, you know, I really wish that he could work on his end. And when she's willing to work on what she has to work on, and she's like admitting her faults in the relationship, and then she says, I want to bring him in, he's in denial. So he's like, I'm not coming over there for no broad to tell me what I'm doing and not doing. You know, so a lot of times you will have, very few men will listen, but you have those that, like, I'm not, no. So you kind of just have to coach the ladies into what they need to do on their end and how they need to talk to them. And that maybe seeking a male counselor would help as well. She can talk to me, still talk to me, and continue with me, but maybe he might feel better with a male counselor.
Right.
The one thing that I do disagree with, and I know some people might be like, no, she did not go there.
What?
I disagree with your pastor counseling you.
Oh,
the reason that I disagree with that is because out of you two, more than likely, I know that there are couples that go to church and find a church together, but majority of the time, you have the woman that's in the church. Let me use that as an example. She's
mm-hmm.
came into the church. Now you have this relationship with this man. Now she's bringing him into the church. He is going to already have his favoritism already in the mix. So even
mm-hmm.
if this guy comes to him, it's kind of, I just don't agree with that, because the thing about it is, one, the religion is put within the relationship, and it's kind of, what's the word I'm trying to look for? It kind of washes out what the trouble is, because the focus is on what God is going to do for you in your relationship
mm-hmm.
instead of what you two need to do together as a couple. And then again, he's already, or she's already sided with who she's going to side with within this relationship. So she may be kind of disagreeing with the other spouse, or saying, well, you need to try to work on this, but it's not an even cut within that magazine, if that makes sense. So
mm-hmm.
I always tell people, try not to have someone that's already in your circle when it comes to that, and try not to go for the pastor being your counselor, you know, so you can really dig deep within your relationship and get the full capacity of the counselor.
Right, and I agree with that as far as, like, the pastor, because, as you mentioned, you know, that favoritism or, you know, and then you can't always trust some of these. Now, I'm not saying all the churches, but some of these churches, they give out false information, or either they may even be in it for themselves, because I've seen where, for instance, the Catholic Church, because I was baptized Catholic, but I stopped practicing Catholicism when I learned, you know, what was going on. But anyway, for instance, a nun and a priest got together, and the priest got the nun pregnant. But every Sunday, he's preaching fornication, this, that, and all this other kind of stuff.
Right.
So therefore,
right.
you have to be very careful in your picking and choosing, even the churches you go to. You know, so
yeah.
then to trust a pastor or a priest with your most intimate problems, that's kind of, I don't think I would do that myself. Not
no,
only
that
for that reason, but.
People feel uncomfortable talking about their sex life to their pastor.
Right, right.
So
because
when you
they
have
basically.
An issue with your sex life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, because they'll tell you, well, that's, you can't have oral sex. And who's saying he's not going home having oral sex with his wife, you know, but he's telling you
he
that's
is.
Wrong.
He is.
This.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, I do agree, you know, not going to the pastor or the priest about your problems, because it's, to me, that's just too, a little bit too intimate for me to. And then somebody like I see every Sunday, you know, I'm sitting down telling this man, my husband, he's not doing this, and he's cheating on me, and he's this,
well,
and he's that. Then who,
right.
And then every Sunday I got to see this man,
right.
you know, and he
right.
may be getting some thoughts in his head. Well, so Sister Gail ain't being satisfied by her husband. Let me see if I can't tap her. You know, so.
Right. Let me tell you this quick story real quick. I heard of this. I had this lady come to me with her issues.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that she had tried this gentleman. She had tried to get him to help with her issue with her husband. Do you know that this man, I don't know what his title was, as far as was he a counselor, was he a relationship coach, or what he was, I don't know. But I know that they reached out to him, and they started to talk to him because she figured a man coming in to help them would benefit because her husband would listen.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted them to have sex in front of him. So he could see how they perform or how her husband
would get his freak on.
exactly. So both of the stories that I hear, I'm amazed. And sometimes I'm blown away and still can't believe it. Like, did you make that up? Oh, my gosh. Like, who does that? Who sits there? So you do have some people that is in trying to help you for a sexual gratification then for just helping you.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the erotic side of Jade, her greeting cards, and, you know, we may even do a little bit of poetry. I have a piece over here that I would like to play. So when we come back after this break, we're going to get into the erotic side of Jade because we're winding down, and we'll be back.
Someone to care, someone to share lonely hours and the moment of despair. To be loved, to be loved. Oh, what a feeling to be loved. Someone to kiss, someone to miss when you're away. To hear from me today. To be loved, to be loved. Oh, oh, what a feeling to be loved. Some wish to be a king or a queen. Some wish for fortune and fame, but to be truly, truly, truly loved is more than all of these things. Oh, oh. Someone to kiss, someone to miss when you're away.
Yes, that was Jackie Wilson, To Be Loved, and What a Feeling to Be Loved. Now, we're back with the vivacious, beautiful Jade, and we're going to get into the erotic side of her because she also does
greeting cards.
Okay, she does greeting cards, erotic greeting cards, and she also recites erotic poetry. So, like I said, I do have a piece over here that I'm going to play, but we're going to get a little bit of, you know, her greeting cards and tell us how you got into that.
Well, I did that. When I was younger, when we were in school, they had Hallmark, had a kiosk where you could create your own card, and it would print out and come out of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to, we would go after school, we would go to the kiosk, and I would write out something for one of my friends. Mm-hmm. And then they would pay me a few extra dollars and pay for the card. So in addition to paying for the card, they would pay me a few extra dollars for creating a poetry. And so I would be in there typing what I wanted to be in the inside of the card, and then we would print the card out. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we couldn't get any cute, exotic pictures because, you know, it's Hallmark, so, you know. We had to have the clean version on the front. But,
right.
No, but my cards are tasteful, so when you do see the cover of it, you see a silhouette, because so you're not expecting it when you open up the card. I hadn't done it for a while, and then when I met my husband, I used to stand at a card place and just be looking for that perfect card for him. And then when I would buy him his gift and give him his card, he would open up the card and be like, oh, thanks, I like it. And, you know, and then he'd close the card up, and I'm like, I know you didn't read it that fair. You did not read the card. But then he's opening up his gift. So one day I said, I'm going to write a poetry for him, and I did. And I put it in a card format. And he just was staring at the card, and I could tell by his eyes that now he's reading the card. So, maybe this is what I need to do, because guys really don't, and you have a male co-host, so he can correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of times you really don't get into the greeting card that somebody is giving you. You know, it's like, okay, you know, when you're a teenager, you're like, let me open it up, get my money, I'm good, you know. And then when you get older, it's like, oh, thanks, sweetie. Thanks so much for that. But you're not really reading it and ingesting what that person felt when they looked at that card. So I decided, let me do something a little bit more sassy and sensual and kind of get them, you know. And so that's when I started getting back into it, and I would show a few friends, and it just kind of took off. I took them to work, and people would come to me and be like, I heard you do greeting cards. Ooh, it just spread it. And that's when I started doing like a little presentation every now and then, and going to people's houses or having them come to my house and just laying out cards for them to look at. You know?
Oh, okay. Well, let me ask
like
you,
I'll be
do
doing
you
a
sell them?
Time.
Okay. Do you sell them singly, or do you sell them like in little boxes with, you know, a specific number of cards in a box?
I have sold them in boxes, 10 in a box, I have. And I've sold them individually, and I've actually sold them to friends who have gotten quantities. So my husband's like, they're buying them. They're buying them, and they're selling them to people, I'm telling you. And so that's when I said I need to start selling quantities of them, because people were actually saying, let me get 5 of these, let me get 3 of these, and at first I was like, do they have like a bunch of boyfriends they give me these cards? But I got into it.
Well, I'm going to play this particular piece. I don't know if you have this on a greeting card, but it's an erotic poem that you recited when I had my yes.
Yes,
so
I
I'm
do.
Going
I, that is on a greeting card.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to play that, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered when I'm alone what I do? I touch myself, boy, while I think about you. I feel the hot wetness as I begin to masturbate in the darkness under my covers. When it's especially late, I imagine you being here with me while I massage my wet clit, feeling the creamy hotness between my fingers as I move my hips a little bit.
treasure. But it's nothing like you being here to give me some pleasure. Do you know what I do when I'm about to come? First I lick my sweetness from my face before I'm done. Next I take my free hands and I massage my breath. Sam, brother, I wish you were here so you can finish the rest. Masturbate when I'm all alone, pleasing myself to the point when I let out a moan. The adrenaline is rising and I let out a scream as I feel the hot wetness of my my pleasurable cream. Are you wondering now? Would you like to see? Well then come watch me the next time. The next time that I play with my pussy.
Well, all right. That was Jade's masterpiece. I really like that piece because it's so sensual, so erotic, and it's just so yummy. And I'm quite sure, you know, you listening audience out there liked it too, so don't be over there talking about, no, it was good. It was very tasteful too. You know, it was very, the music and everything, you know, it was done very, you know, tasteful, you know, so I applaud you on that, Jade.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You was actually the first person that I let listen to that.
I remember. I said, hey, this Sam, girl, what did I tell you?
I said, I want you to play this. And I think I got off the phone with you because I was, like, nervous. And I was like, just, Miss Gail, just listen to this real quick. Tell me what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was, you know, it's like I said, it's very tasteful. Did you like it, Rhea and Jadino?
Mm-hmm. I did. I could hardly hear the music, but I hear the words.
Oh, okay.
Good enough.
Yeah, it's
that was
one
of Janet Jackson's pieces. When I found that actually as an instrumental, I was like, this will fit for this. Let me just throw that on there real quick. And
Well, we're winding down to the end of the show, and I just want to thank you, Jade, for being the guest this evening. You know, you really brought a lot of information, and hopefully those who are listening, you know, learned something. You know, they may have wrote something down, but, you know, the most important thing is that they walked away with something. And I'm going to give you an applause for that.
Aww. Thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
That was a big old crowd, child.
I really appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you being here. And, you know, bringing sexy back is, you know, for the mature listener audience. And our subject matter is sexual, but it's not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listener audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Or to either of my co-hosts, that's Rhea at RheaAlexis@yahoo.com. That's RheaAlexis@yahoo.com. Or J. Dino Blasco, that's J.DinoBlasco@gmail.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to 2 hours, depending on how juicy the topic was. And tonight it was definitely juicy of adult conversations. And I also like you guys to tune in every first Friday at 11 p.m. for open topic and the last Friday at 10:30 p.m. for musical show, which is slow jams, happy hour, house music. I play music from the 50s on up. And on Sunday at 7 p.m., you have got to stop by Gail's Blues Joint for some blues and sassy music. Remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. And I thank you, Rhea, you know, for coming on tonight. And I really do appreciate you. I thank you, Jay Dino, for coming on, you know, being my co-host. I love you guys to death. And, Jay, I do appreciate you for taking the spot of being my guest co-host here, you know, every Wednesday. And let everybody know where you're at, Jade.
Oh, you can go to eroticexpression.com. I just want to throw that website out there. You can also find us on Facebook at Erotic Talk Radio. And that's where you'll also find me here on Blog Talk Radio. Erotic Talk Radio is every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, and then on Saturdays we have the G-Spot Love Zone. That's on Saturday nights. And on Thursdays, Miss Delicious is my co-host. Beautiful.
Okay, Rhea,
Delicious.
Thank you, darling. Rhea, you want to let people know what you're doing?
Well, I'm slowing down right now because I decided that I wanted to read some of my own personal books, but I am a book reviewer, both independent and connected to other organizations, and that's really about it for me right now.
Okay. And Jadino, you want to let people know what you're doing and how they can get in touch with you as well, because Jadino is very versatile in his talent. So just, you know, shout out there what you want people to know about you.
Oh, yeah. Well, right now I'm doing, like, all to the extreme this year. So I'm doing women's shoes, shirts. I'm also filming. I'm going to be in an up-and-coming film coming up. You can get at me on Facebook at Jadino Blasco. And, basically, that's it. Right now, I'm working on a lot of art projects, and I got a couple other things that I'll announce later.
Okay, so you guys make sure you check Jay Dino out on Facebook. Like I said,
and
he's
Instagram.
Very talented. Huh?
I'm also on Instagram, but it's under iMadMan2, a.k.a. Jay Dino Blasco. Nobody knew what the other was later. There wasn't any changes, so I had to add to it.
Oh, okay. Well, make sure you check him out and check Jade out, and Rhea is a book reviewer. So, you know, everybody here tonight is very talented people. So, you know, and myself, I'm on Facebook. I have a fan page on Facebook, JJ Publishing. My handle on Facebook is Gail Delicious Johnson. If you want to become my friend on Facebook, I'm an author, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker, and I've acted in a couple of movies as well. One I just recently did with Mitch Cradle. And Jadino was my son in that movie, so you might want to check that out. It's Where Are You? Where Are You? Where Have You Been? That's the title, right, Jadino?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Where Have You Been? You might check that out. And with that being said, everybody have a wonderful rest of the evening. A wonderful weekend. And remember, if nobody told you today that they love you, I do, and so do God. Good night, everybody, and thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye. best radio show on the internet.